Isaiah 40. I feel bad if I skip this first part. So let's start in verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who's that talking about? John the Baptist. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful in this day and age? The rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And you imagine the message as Isaiah is sharing this, as God is sharing it with his people, and they're struggling, they're going through hard times, just, you know, like we do sometimes. And this message Isaiah brings, he said, look, God's going to reveal his glory. God's going to show us who he is. And they anticipate that, and they're excited about that, and there's that hope. And we understand that all the people that heard this message of Isaiah did not live long enough to see Jesus born, but they knew that it was going to happen. They didn't know how it was going to happen. They may not have understood all of it, especially, you know, as we can look back and see all the details. But they had a hope that God had not forgotten. They had a hope that God was going to send a messenger ahead and that he would reveal his glory. And he did that. And the voice said, verse 6, cry. And he said, well, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And it's important for us, and as we look back in history, and as we look forward in hope, that we realize that we may not see the coming of Christ in the clouds. But that's okay, because I got news. If you're not here for him to come in the clouds and you have faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll have a different view when it happens. Isn't that great? He's coming back. And I remember, and I've told y'all this story, my grandmother always, boy, she anticipated the coming of the Lord. And her best friend was kind of mad at God when my grandmother died. She said, I just can't believe God let her die before the rapture. Well, I got news for you. That was 30 years ago. Yeah, about 30 years, pretty close to it. And I don't think she would have wanted to wait around this long. I think she is happy as she could be to get to heaven and to see Jesus and to hear the beautiful sounds of heaven and to hug and embrace and dance. I never knew my grandmother to be a dancer, but I bet when you get to heaven, you dance. And she was so excited to be in heaven and look forward to it. Look, he's coming back. It may not be in our day because we're as grass. And the grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of God, see, even if our life is over, even if all of our heroes have died, God's word is true and it remains. Isn't that exciting? And even in the Bible, it said that there will be mockers and scoffers that say, where is the promise of his coming? I got news for you. I don't know what's going to happen. I see lots of signs. I don't believe there's anything holding him back now except he's got an appointment and that's what he's going to keep. But I look forward to that time, whether we're here or, as Brother Ed would say, I'll see you here or there or in the air. And we're looking forward to going to heaven, but we understand that our lives are fragile. You know, the news of Sister Foggy was shocking. We weren't expecting that. But it's a reminder that we can die without notice, without anticipation, without everybody knowing about it. And just in a moment, I think of Coach Leach. I never knew much about Coach Leach, Mississippi State University, but I started watching football, you know, I guess more so this year, and watching those SEC teams play. And I liked that guy. He's a good guy, and I liked him. And I'm sorry he's gone, because I thought he was I just enjoyed him. We didn't know it, did we? Had no idea he was going to die. But that's what happens, guys. Our lives are temporary here. Life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and passeth away. So we know that. And so we have plans and we have expectations and we want to stay till Jesus comes. But at the same time, wouldn't it be great to go to heaven right now? Right now. Oh, verse 9, he says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. As we really do, we need to put our minds on God and our mind's eye on God. And we need to put ourselves, we need to go in our spirit before the presence of the throne of God. And we need to go into heaven and we need to be there in the throne room and see God the Father and see the Savior on the right hand, the one that's making intercession for us. And we need to go and get in His presence and just think about that. And as we've studied the Bible, we know about the heavenly host and the elders and the all the people that are around, the spirits that are around the throne. And just in our mind's eye, imagine the glory and the wonder of that beautiful place. Think about heaven. He says, behold your God. And there is God on the throne. Our God, our Creator, our King, our Father. Verse 10, behold, the Lord will come with strong hand. And I know that in their minds, just like in ours, when it says, behold, God will come, we have this idea of a magnanimous, gigantic presence, big God. And when he came as a baby. Isn't that incredible? Things aren't always what we expect, are they? He didn't come riding in on a horse with a sword drawn, with an army behind him, as he will. He came as a child. Born in a rented spot, they laid him in a manger near the animals, maybe even under the stars, in poverty, with poor parents, from humble upbringing. He worked. Didn't look like a king. He didn't look like a god. But you see, he was there. When the words were spoken, let us make man in our image, he was there. When the words were spoken, let there be light, and the words are written, and there was light. He was there. He's the everlasting God. And his arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him, and his work before him. And so what is the reward of our Christianity? What is the reward of our salvation? Guys, Christianity is not about getting rich, as some on television might entice you to believe. It's not about having all the shiny things of this world. No, our reward is Jesus Himself. Our reward is a relationship with Almighty God. Our reward is that I, as a believer, having the presence of God in me, as a child of God, can go before the throne without notice and say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. I can do that. You can do that. Little children can do that. People can pray. Somebody was talking in our brotherhood the other morning about Brother Al McDermott when he would pray. If you recall his prayer, he was always real, just kind of friendly with God. Well, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today. You know, just normal talk. He didn't have to use all the thou arts and holiness. He just spoke to God. Jesus is our reward, and his work was before him. He says in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Some of you may have grown up in a home where mama would say, now, did you eat? Maybe you visited grandma. She said, did you eat? Have you had enough to eat? And they always want you to eat. And the Lord always wants us to be full. He wants our spirits to be full. He shall gather the lambs. Look at the picture. He feeds us. He provides for us. He gathers us. He wants us close. He will gather the lambs with his arm. What did he do? Those 12 men were the most fortunate men ever to walk the earth, weren't they? The Jews say, oh, the greatest are Elijah and Moses. They're up there. But there were 12 men who walked with Jesus everywhere he went. He went up the mountain, they went up the mountain. Went down in the valley, they went down in the valley. He went out on the ship, they went out on the ship. They went out on the ship, he stayed, he walked out to the ship. I mean, they were always there. And they were eating with him. John would lean on his chest. Wow. What a life. He will gather the lambs with his arm, drawing them to him. And he will even carry them in his bosom. I'm sure you're all familiar with the footprints in the sand. And the man looks back on his life and he says, you know, I notice in the hard times, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I only see one set of footprints when it was tough. And Jesus says, well, I was carrying you. Isn't that something? That's a great, great story. He will carry them in his bosom. And the picture of the great shepherd as he's carrying that lamb, the love, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He's leading, but he's gentle. He's carrying. He's gathering. He's feeding. That's our Savior. See, he's not just the man that walked for those 33 years. He's not just the man that ministered and pastored and did miracles for those 3 years. He's not just the one that was crucified and rose again on the third day. He's not just that. You know what he is? Verse number 12 says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? We are never going to be smarter than God. Well, Lord, I know what the Bible says, but... No, you can't counsel God. The Bible says what it says, and that's from God's heart. Well, I know we're not supposed to, but there's extenuating circumstances. You're not smarter than God. There's nothing that happens in our lives that has God confused, perplexed, wondering. Verse 14, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him? And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Step back and think about it. Just in your mind's eye, think about who we are. And now you take and just step back and look at the state of Florida, and back up and look at the United States, and keep backing up because there's a whole big world out there beyond that. And then you can keep backing up because there's other planets. And then you can keep backing up because there's a whole universe. We've got the Milky Way, and you step back and you look at all the stars and all the stuff that we can't see. I don't know why God put it out there. And to us, it seems amazingly large. But to God, it's not. Take the whole creation that we know, even the stars, as far as we can go, and put that in a box over here. Because God's got other things going on too. This is for us. This is our understanding. But we can't imagine what God has done. It says, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, verse 15. They're counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, or the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offerings. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing. Vanity. Now look, Isaiah is not trying to say that we're not important to God, but what he's saying is that we're limited in our understanding. The greatness of our thought, the broadness of our thought, can't touch the understanding of God. He understands all that stuff. We talk about prayer requests, and man, we hear some prayer requests and we go, well, I don't have any problems after hearing that. But you know, God's got all of that. He's hearing all that. He's taking care of all of that. Verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? There's no comparison. Guys, understand, Satan and God are not equal. Jesus and Satan are not equal. Satan's down, you know, the Bible talks about us being above the angels. Satan's under our foot on purpose. Can't make an image and say, well, that's God. And somebody gave me a great painting. And the painting, I'm sure it represents in the artist's mind, Jesus washing the feet of a disciple. I'm sure that's what it represents. It's a great painting. And the only hesitancy I have about, you know, hanging it up anywhere in here, you know, even in the vestibule, is we don't know what Jesus looked like. I mean, we know he's Jewish, right? We know he wasn't a California Hollywood actor, right? We know he was Jewish for sure. I don't want people to give glory to an image that is not our Savior. And that's why I don't have a picture of Jesus anywhere. And, you know, of course he said, how can you liken Jesus to anything? I've got little figurines from Israel where, they carved out and it's the impression or the artist, I'm sure his concept was Jesus carrying a lamb on his shoulders or, again, washing feet, all this. And they're wonderful. But it's a representation of and that's what I always look at that painting. I don't put Jesus there washing that man's feet. I always think that's my place. That's our place to wash feet. It's our place to serve. That's what it means to me. And I love it. It's great. But to whom will you liken God? He has no equal. What likeness will you compare unto him? He's greater than the Son. Verse 19, the workman melteth a graven image. The goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. Seeks to him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. In other words, you know, they're making idols that they can worship as a representation of a mighty, almighty God. He says, it doesn't work out. Not an image, not of gold, not of silver, not of wood. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. As he sits high and he looks at us, again, Isaiah is not trying to diminish us and make us feel worthless, but he's saying, guys, understand how great God is. He stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. We look at space and, I mean, we can't even go there, right? Unless you become an astronaut, go out in space. Even just to go in orbit would be incredible. We think it's pretty impressive to get in an airplane and go up in the air. Or a helicopter, just to get up and look at all those things. And yet God high and above, looking down at us, and I'm one of hundreds of thousands in this area and millions in the country. And I say, Lord, and his ear bends toward me. Isn't that incredible? Father, and his ear bends toward us. Great God. Mindful of our needs. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, why would you hear my prayer? I was working with a guy one time when I was in college, and he sneezed, and I said, God bless you. He said, don't bother God with a sneeze. He's busy. And that made me think, because his point was true. God is, he's got all of these prayers, but you know, he never loses one. Never forgets one. Verse 23, that bringeth the princes to nothing, makes judges of the earth as vanity. They shall not be planted. They shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. The whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Think about that. All these people, you know, they get a certain position. They get some power. And they start saying, oh, I got power. You ever met somebody that the power went right to their head? I've seen pastors when they were preachers, they were great. And then they became a pastor, and all of a sudden they got attitude. Somebody you worked with, and they got promoted, and all of a sudden they were the boss. Boy, they had power now. Isaiah says, they wither too. They're going to die like the rest of us. To whom will you liken me, verse 25, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Isn't that incredible? Man, the sun comes up, and we say, boy, isn't that beautiful. And the sun goes down, and we say, oh, isn't that beautiful? And we look at the stars and the constellations, and we say, oh, isn't that beautiful? And we go out to the ocean, and we look at the waves as they come in, and they go out, and the tide changes, and we say, oh, isn't that beautiful? And then we see a fish jump up out of the water, and we say, oh, isn't that beautiful? Whose idea was that? From his imagination, he said. Make a lobster, right? That was God. And the whales, they migrate. We think, oh, how majestic. Came from God's imagination. Who hath created these things? That bringeth out their hosts by number. Again, talking about the stars. He calleth them all by names. By the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? Huh? Well, God doesn't know about this. I got news for you. When we confess our sins, he says, yes. I don't know if you ever had to deal with children that lie, or adults that lie, for that matter. Well, you can't lie to God. He already knows. He knows what we've done, what we've thought, what we've said, and he knows the intention behind it, the motivation behind it. He knows why we did it. And that's going to be part of our judgment, is why we did it. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither there is no searching of his understanding. When we pray and we say, well, I know, you know, you got a lot to do, God, so I don't want to burden you with this. He's not weary. He wants to hear from us. Verse 29, he gives power to the faint. Doesn't he do that? You ever go to church and you just, you know, you kind of think about going to church, say, well, I'm kind of tired. I think maybe I'll just skip it tonight or today. I'll just, you know, I'll be okay if I just miss this one. The problem is you miss one, it gets easier to miss two. I'm just tired. And then you say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and go. And you go to church and you kind of drag yourself in. And then you start singing about God and you start praying for people, and then the Bible's open and the Word of God is preached, and boy, kind of get excited again, don't you? It gives power to the faint. To him that have no might, he increaseth strength. You see, the truth is this, verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary. Everybody gets tired. Everybody gets burdened. The young men shall utterly fall. Everybody sometimes comes to the end of their ability and their energy and their enthusiasm, their excitement. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's where the hope, that's where the word enthusiasm we just used and Theos is God in us. That's what enthusiasm, that's where it comes from. It's God in us. It's the energy of God in us. The breath of God in us. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, the difference is if we go in our own energy or if we wait upon the Lord. Let's wait upon Him. He's great. He's mighty. He's wonderful. He will feed. He will gather. He will carry. Isn't that incredible? Let's stand. Father, we love You so much. We're thankful for You, for who You are, for all that You've done. We're thankful for Jesus, our Savior. We're thankful for Your presence and the Holy Ghost in us, for the way that You've given us strength and energy, and You've renewed our strength in times. God, revive us. Give us the enthusiasm, the strength, the energy, the joy, the peace that passes understanding, those things which can only come from Your heart. Guide us through this week. God, help us make a difference. Show us opportunities to be a blessing to others. Forgive our sins. Dismiss us with Your grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.